partaking of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, I want us to think before we do, because we never just do the Lord's Supper. We don't do a tack on. Not that there's churches that do that. I'm not taking a shot at anybody, but I think it's so important, because we do it once every fifth Sunday, that it's so important that we take that Sunday and we set it aside just for the idea of communion and what it means. And what I already mentioned, what an awesome thought to think that we're remembering Memorial Day weekend, that we honor the fallen soldiers, those that went on before us, but yet we recognize, you know, the old, I don't know if you guys know the old Whistling song. One day there was a stand, not an army, just one man, and it took place on a hill called Calvary, and it's The Greatest Hero is the title of that message. And he is our greatest hero. He's the reason why we're here, the reason that we come together. And so I want us, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, just to think about a few things. We should always do that. Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. And in the context of this, where we're at, the Corinthian church that Paul had founded was a very talented church, was very gifted. It was full of people that had such tremendous gifts for God, and yet within that was also a lot of tension. There was they were always combating against one another. There was competition. You got to understand where Corinth was at. The Isthmian games went on there, and so life was about competition. Listen, we're like that in America if we're not careful, right? We choose our teams. Tar Heels, come on. Come on, Charles, give me an amen. But we have our teams. We understand that. But then they, if we're not careful, we'll take that same mentality over into our... I see you smiling, Aaron. You're not going to say, go, dude. But I'm just saying, we carry this mentality, if we're not careful, into our churches. It's not a competition whatsoever. I want you to know that. I pray for revival to break out. In any, God use it in one of these churches, any churches in the high country. Help us never become envious or feel like we're in competition with anybody. And so this book was written because they were struggling with those things. They were saved out of a great, man, it was the temple of goddess was there, and they had all kinds of immorality, debauchery. Hello, does it sound familiar to you? And that's where they were at. And Paul had planted this wonderful church in the midst of it. And yet they had taken their learning, they're young Christians, and they're learning about the things of God, and he's taught them for several chapters about the different things and how you apply it. And then he gets to this in chapter 11 where he's talking about the Lord's Supper and how to partake of it, because they were turning that into something that it wasn't supposed to be. They were just eating and overeating, overdrinking, and they didn't care about anybody else. That's not what the Lord's table represents. That's not what we're going to partake of this morning. And so I want us to think about, what is it that we're doing? Contemplating the Lord's Supper. And a couple words that come to mind before we'll partake. And first is remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. And we hear that. Verse 24, verse 25. Let's go ahead and read the scripture and let's honor God's word by standing, and let's read 23 through 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. The Word of God says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the, verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Father, in Jesus' name I pray, God, show us and teach us for a few moments, and then let us partake of the Lord's Supper for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. First word to think about is remembrance, where he says, "Do this in remembrance of me," in 24 and 25. And then he says, "For as often as you eat this bread in verse 26 and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so when we do this, I was thinking today how important it is for us to take out a time to remember what the Lord Jesus has done in your life. The reason that we're here, the reason we're all gathered together is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, I pray that each and every one of you has a relationship with him today. If you don't, you can have that relationship before we're done. But listen, if we do have that relationship, I don't care what you're facing, what you're going through right now, do you realize the Lord is right there with you? He's there to help you and to see you through. Do this in remembrance of why he came and what he did in your life. When we take the juice in a minute, well, it recognizes as his blood that he shed for us. When we take the bread, in just a few moments, we'll think about his body that was broken for each and every one of us. How fitting for us to think and take out this time. And here the scripture tells us in Hebrew, except for the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sin. And yet in that same book it says all the blood of the bulls and goats could not atone but for a single sin. They say, well, why did they ever do it? It was pointing to the greatest sacrifice. It was pointing to the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning when we partake of his body and the blood that we think about in remembrance of what he did. We take the cup and the bread. He gave a sacrifice. He took our sin. He took the wrath of a holy God for us. He took our punishment. Listen, we talk about that, we mouth that so many times if we're not careful. It just becomes numb when we grasp the magnitude of what Christ did for us and reconciling us to God. What an awesome thought. Well, not only remembrance, but think about celebration. And what's it a celebration of? It celebrates because, guess what? We're now, because we have Christ, if he is our Savior, we're in the presence of Holy God. Now we become before God, and in his presence we are reconciled back to God because of what Jesus has done for us. We have a relationship with him that the Scripture says at any moment we can call upon his name. Prayer. What a thing to celebrate the relationship, the restored relationship of fallen man back to a holy God, that one day we stand, not condemned, Romans 8:1, before a holy God because of what Christ has done. Listen, that should bring celebration into our life. We get so excited about the things that we were talking about just a minute ago, and we celebrate. Man, this should be a great time of celebration sometimes. We should just say, thank you, Lord, what you have done. And think about the eternal life that he's brought through Jesus Christ to you this morning. It should be a great time of celebration. He invites us back. Look, through the Lord's table, through the blood of Christ, we're invited back to where the disobedience that separated us from God. Now we can pull up to his table. And we can partake with him because of what Christ has done. It's a celebration. But it's also communion. That same idea. And it's called communion. Why? Because of that reconciliation. Now we stand united with Christ, in Christ, before a holy God. And look around. We're a family of God. God brings us out. Oh, we might be a ragtag-looking bunch, but you know what? Listen. You say, speak for yourself, preacher. We might be, and we look different. We're for all different areas, but Christ has brought us together to commune us. Listen, we have this communion. We have this anticipation that we're going to think about in a little bit. But we work together. Here we go. I was thinking about when the disciples were receiving this. If you go back to Luke and you see them, what are they doing? They don't grasp the magnitude of what God's doing at that Passover meal. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. And it would be for eternity. Listen, they didn't grasp it was an eternal moment. I want you to understand that this morning. This is an eternal moment. You'll do this in heaven one day. Don't take that for granted. Here we are, 2016 years after the death of Christ, and we're still doing what he instituted. You want to have a real and relevant moment? Think about that this morning. Do you think they grasped the magnitude of that as they were sitting there that night? They knew there was a lot going on, and the Lord was speaking all this thing about leaving and all that. And they were arguing, well, we're going to be the greatest. Did they realize that it would be a moment set in eternity? That they never looked down to see us up here in Todd, North Carolina, 2016, partaking of this very thing that the Lord was instituting? What an awesome thought. And guess what? In eternity, you'll be partaking of it too. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So it's an eternal moment. Please grasp that. There's not a lot of eternal moments. I told Sandy this morning as we were sitting at the table. I said, if the Lord tarries 2,016 years from now, and nobody here in the temporal is even going to know who we were. But and when I think about that, I thought for a little bit, it just kind of, I thought, man, sentimental mentality. But I thought, but I'll still be alive. We'll still be alive. And in eternity, forever. Now, listen, grasp a hold of that. 2,000 years, if the Lord tarries and this earth's still going on, there won't nobody remember you or any of those things, okay? You're just a fleeting thing. James says that vapor that you get a chance to make a difference while you're here. But listen, 2,000 years, you will be alive in heaven with Jesus because of Christ, or in hell forever because of your rejection of Christ. But you will be alive. So it's an eternal moment. It's something for us to grasp onto and the magnitude of that. It's a communion with God through Christ. And then it's an anticipation, as we're talking about, because we are the body of Christ. Look around. We're the body of Christ. Together we stand. And as we're talking in our Sunday school lesson this morning about the persecuted church, there are people all around this world that are persecuted. They cannot meet like we do this freedom that we have. But they're beaten, they're killed, they're mocked, they're battered. But we're the body of Christ. We're His body. And because of that, we live in anticipation. We anticipate what? He says, for as often as you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till what? Till He comes. He's coming today, old child of God. He's coming back. He will be here again. Luke 22, 16 says, for I say to you, I will, this is Christ on that night, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Christ saying, you know what? This is our time, last time together. I'm not going to eat of it again, but one day I will. Why? He's coming back, and we'll all partake of it together in heaven. That's how important this moment is. This is how important this service is. That we'll be doing this. Verse 18 says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Listen, people say, oh, we've heard that old story. Listen, there's many a person has went to their grave saying that the Lord can return at any moment. And He can. But you say, why hasn't He come? And there's a lot of people that are real smart. Say, well, why does He let the world go? The world's the reason it is because of sin and sinfulness, and we need to take it on the chin. It's not God's fault. We ushered sin in. He made a difference through Christ. He made a way for us to overcome the world. But I want you to know, listen, we anticipate this time that we'll be together. We remember and we look back on the Christ. And the Old Testament saints, listen, they look forward to the Messiah to come. That's where they were saved and how their faith came. And we look for the Messiah that's came, give His life on Calvary, and it's coming again. You live in that day of grace, that time period. Oh, my friend, don't take that for granted. Christ will be back. And we live in anticipation of His coming. The future hope that we'll take this one day with Him in heaven. And the Scripture says, listen to what Luke 12 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. And surely I say to you, who will? Jesus the master will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and he will serve them. One of these days, listen, the Lord Jesus will hand you that cup in heaven. Grasp the magnitude of this moment. Not something to just blow by or just to be a routine or a rote situation, but it's the magnitude of the moment. Because lastly, it's a time of examination. What does the Scripture say in 27 through 30? It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is this moment? The Bible tells us to take out a time to examine ourselves. What are we examining? What is it that we're looking at? We're reflecting on. We're remembering what Christ has done, but we're also a reflection of our own lives. Is there sin in your life this morning? You say, well, we all sin. I'm talking about known sin, that you're living in sin. If there's known sin in your life, do not partake of this Lord's Supper. You say, why? Well, the Scripture tells us. Why would you say such a thing, Pastor David? For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Judgment to himself. Do not play around with the Lord's Supper. If there's sin in your life and you're not willing to confess it, to forsake it and repent of it, do not take of the Lord's Supper. Why? Because you're bringing judgment on yourself. That's what the Scripture tells us. It's our lifestyle. Well, I have certain lifestyles that I'm not willing to give up. Listen, then do not take of the Lord's Supper. I don't want to see anybody bring judgment on herself. How do I take in an unworthy manner? What are some unworthy manner that I can take manners? How about unforgiveness? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart this morning? I see that a lot, by the way, stronghold here. Unforgiveness. Well, I forgive, but I don't, what did he say? Forget. Is that true, unforgiveness? Because when the Scripture says, Jesus said, when he forgives, what does he do? He casts it in the depths of the sea. Never, as far as the east is from west, tell me how far that is. He never keeps track, does he? I'm so glad he don't keep track. Why? Because, man, the more I mess up, I have to constantly, Lord, forgive me. I slip and I fail. And we do, but thank God that through Christ I can be forgiven. And I don't just hypothetically say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, but I pick out the pride. I pick out the things in my own life, things that I did or said about somebody that shouldn't have been said. And I say, God, forgive me for that. And that's what he's talking about, unforgiveness. How about jealousy? We say, oh, we're not jealous. We all wrestle with those things and compare ourselves with others. Jealousy. How about resentment? Somebody hurt your feelings, kind of going back to that unforgiveness. Well, I forgive, but I don't forget. That's resentment. We allow resentment to ground into our life. Get rid of resentment. Gossip. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, you are flat. You're just messing with things. We all gossip. We're all guilty if we're not careful of gossip. We need to let that go and ask God to forgive us of those things. Slander, same thing. Slandering other people. Talking about others. And on and on and on and on we could go. Lay these down this morning and let's partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. Lay it down. If you had some ought in your heart this morning, if you have something that you know, if you have sin in your life, you say, how do I know it's sin? You know. See, we don't live in a relative world where sin and truth is relative. We live by the Word of God and you know when it's wrong. So don't play games with God this morning. You just confess it, and you repent of it, and you take of the Lord's Supper worthily. So we're going to have just a moment, and as my guys are coming forward and getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have just a moment. Let's reflect and examine. If there's anything in your life that needs to be forgiven, let's do that. We're going to have just a moment of silence. Bow your heads before the Lord and examine yourself. Confess your sin before the Lord. Remember what He's done. Celebrate. Think of the communion. Think of the anticipation of Him coming again. If the Lord Jesus came back right now, this next second, would there be something that you say, oh, I don't want Him to come back. I need to get this right. You need to make that right. Examine to see if there's any of these things in your life. And then ask the Lord to forgive you. Father, I thank you for this time as we get ready to partake of the bread and the cup. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray for each heart here. Let them be clean before you. God, may you be honored, glorified, reverenced in all that's done. May we partake in a way that anticipates your coming. And we thank you for the great privilege. In Christ's name.